of his better points. I don't set any score by the ring. The amount of stuff his family's nicked, you could probably prove he's the Duke of Pseudopolis, the Seraph of Clatch, and the Dowager Duchess of Quirm. He pinched my cigar case last year, and I'm damn certain he's not me. No, I don't think Nobby is a knob, but I think he was convenient. It seemed to Vimes that Dragon was getting bigger, but perhaps it was only a trick of the candlelight. The light flickered as the candles hissed and popped. "You made good use of me, eh?" Vimes carried on. "I'd been ducking out of appointments with you for weeks. I expect you were getting quite impatient. You were so surprised when I told you about Nobby, eh? Otherwise you'd have had to send for him or something very suspicious. But Commander Vimes discovered him. That looks good. Practically makes it official. And then I started thinking, who wants a king? Well, nearly everyone. It's built in. Kings make it better. Funny thing, isn't it? Even those people who owe everything to him don't like Vetinari. 10 years ago, most of the guild leaders were just a bunch of thugs. And now, well, they're still a bunch of thugs, to tell the truth, but Vetinari's given them the time and energy to decide they never needed him. And then young Carrot turns up with charisma writ all over him, and he's got a sword and a birthmark, and everyone gets a funny feeling, and dozens of buggers start going through the records and say, hey, looks like the king's come back. And then they watch him for a while and say, shit, he really is decent and honest and fair and just. Just like in all the stories. Whoops, oh, if this lad gets on the throne, we could be in serious trouble. He might turn out to be one of them inconvenient kings from long ago, who wanders around talking to the common people.
You are in favour of the common people, said Dragon mildly.
The common people, said Vimes. They're nothing special. They're no different from the rich and powerful, except they've got no money or power. But the law should be there to balance things up a bit, so I suppose I've got to be on their side.
A man married to the richest woman in the city?
Vimes shrugged. The watchman's helmet isn't like a crown. Even when you take it off, you're still wearing it.
That's an interesting statement of position, Sir Samuel. I would be the first to admire the way you've come to terms with your family history, but
don't move. Vimes shifted his grip on the crossbow. Anyway, Carrot wouldn't do, but the news was getting around and someone said, right, let's have a king we can control. All the rumours say the king is a humble watchman, so let's find one. And they had a look and found that when it comes to humble, you can't beat Nobby Nobs. But I think people weren't too sure. Killing Vetinari wasn't an option. As I said, too many things would happen too fast. But to just gently remove him so that he's there and not there at the same time, while everyone tried out the idea, that was a good wheeze. That's when someone got Mr. Carrie to make poison candles. He'd got a golem. Golems can't talk. No one would know. But it turned out to be a bit erratic.
You seem to wish to involve me, said Dragon King of Arms. I know nothing about this man, other than that he's a customer.
Vimes strode across the room and pulled a piece of parchment from a board. You did him a coat of arms, he shouted. You even showed me when I was here. The butcher, the baker and the candlestick maker, remember? There was no sound now from the hunched figure. When I first met you the other day, said Vimes, you made a point of showing me Arthur Carey's coat of arms. I thought it was a bit fishy at the time, but all that business with Nobby put it out of my mind. But I do remember it reminded me of the one for the Assassin's Guild. Vimes flourished the parchment. I looked and looked at it last night, and then I wound my sense of humour down 10 notches and let it go out of focus and looked at the crest, the fish-shaped lamp. Lamp au poisson, it's called. A sort of bilingual play on words, perhaps? A lamp of poison? You've got to have a mind like old detritus to spot that one. And Fred Colon wondered why you'd left the motto in modern Ancian instead of putting it into the old language. And that made me wonder. So I sat up with the dictionary and worked it out, and you know, it would have read Ars enixa est candelam. Ars enixa. That must have really cheered you up. You'd said who did it and how it was done, and gave it to the poor bugger to be proud of. Didn't matter that no one else would spot it. It made you feel good, because we ordinary mortals just aren't as clever as you.